You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast number 15. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible so they will be able to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and to save souls for Christ. That's Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. We upload blogs each week that accompany our podcast to help you study the Word of God so you will know what you believe and why you believe it. You can access all of our podcasts and the accompanying blogs on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our podcasts are also available on Spreaker and Stitcher. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It records the beginning of time, the beginning of life, the beginning of sin, and the beginning of salvation. Almost all of the foundational biblical doctrines are revealed in Genesis and are further developed in other books in our Holy Bible. As a result, our foundational biblical teaching ministry lessons will begin in the book of Genesis. We've titled podcast number 15, Cain and Abel, Giving to God, Anger, Murder, and Responsibility. Go with me, please, to Genesis 4. Genesis 4, 1 through 8. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel for his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, Let's go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother Abel? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? This is the first time giving to God has been mentioned in our Holy Bible. Why did God accept Abel's offering? Why did God reject Cain's offering? What was the Old Testament principle of giving to God? Is giving to God also a New Testament principle? Is God a respecter of persons? Does God show favoritism? How did Cain's anger result in Abel's murder? What does being our brother's keepers mean? I'm glad you asked. Let's get started. Why did God accept Abel's offering? Go with me to Genesis 4:4. And Abel, for his part, brought the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. So I think we need to start off this discussion by saying that God must have previously told both Cain and Abel that they were responsible for offering a part of their increase to him. This scripture reflects that Cain and Abel understood that they were both compelled and obligated to give a portion of their wealth to God. James 1:18 says, In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would become kind of first fruits of his creatures. God has created us to become the first fruits of his creation. And as such, God expects us to give him the first fruits of our increase. Abel brought to God the first fruits of his increase, and God was pleased with his offering. Let's look at Hebrews 11:4. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered a better sacrifice to God than Cain, which showed that he was righteous, since God gave approval to him for his gift." Abel had faith in God. Abel trusted the word of God. Abel was obedient to God. Abel brought fat portions from the firstborn. Abel offered to God the first fruits of his increase. Abel didn't wait until an animal had plenty of offspring and then sacrifice one of the youngest. Abel offered God the best of what he had. Abel was declared righteous by God. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. The next question from this passage of scripture is, why did God reject Cain's offering? I think we need to remember that Abel's offering was accepted by God because he was obedient to God. Abel's offering was accepted by God because he had faith in God. Abel's offering was accepted by God because he gave God the first fruits of his increase. Therefore, it's logical to conclude that Cain's offering was rejected because it was the opposite of Abel's offering. Cain's offering was rejected because he did not have faith in God. Cain's offering was rejected because he did not trust the word of God. Cain's offering was rejected because he was rebellious and disobedient to God. Cain's offering was rejected because he did not give God the first fruits of his increase. Look at what Jude 1:11 says about Cain. Jude 1:11, "They are damned, for they follow in the footsteps of Cain. For profit, they give themselves over to Balaam's error. They are destroyed in the uprising of Korah." What am I saying? This scripture is referring to lawless men having followed in the footsteps of Cain. Cain was a lawless man. Cain's footsteps were damned. Cain's footsteps were disobedient to God. The footsteps of Cain devised their own way of worship. The footsteps of Cain did not act in faith to God. Cain's offering, while acceptable in his own eyes, was not acceptable to God. Therefore, God rejected Cain's offering. 1 John 3:12. 1 John 3:12 says, "We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one." What is the scripture saying? This scripture is saying that Cain was from and belonged to Satan. Cain was evil. Cain did not belong to God. I have another question here. Is God a respecter of persons? Does God show favoritism? I'm glad you asked. Look again at Genesis 4, 6 and 7. "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at this door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it.'" What are we saying? God is telling Cain that he has no reason to be angry and no reason to be resentful. God is telling Cain that if he's obedient to him and have faith in him, he will do well. He will prosper. He will be blessed and his offering will be accepted. Cain could have chosen to be obedient to God. Cain could have chosen to trust God. Cain chose to disobey God, and as a result, God rejected his offering. God is no respecter of persons. God does not show favoritism. You line up with God, and God will line up with you. It's not rocket science. It's not that complicated. What was the Old Testament principle of giving to God? There are numerous examples of Old Testament saints giving to God. Let's take a look at a few examples. Go with me to Genesis 8. Genesis 8, 20 and 21. "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth, nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done.'" In this passage of scripture, Noah sacrificed animals to the Lord and thanked the Lord for keeping him and his family safe during the flood. God accepted Noah's offering as a pleasing scent. Let's look at Genesis 14. Genesis 14, 17 through 20. Abraham, after his return from the defeat of the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveth. And the king Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And what did Abram do? And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. I hope you're hearing this. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, which most theologians agree was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, 800 years before the principle of tithing was established under the law of Moses. Abraham was thankful that God had given him victory over his enemies, and he tithed to God. Hebrews 11:17-19 says, "By faith Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, 'It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you.' He considered the fact that God is able to even raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." What am I saying? Abraham was also willing to sacrifice his only begotten son to God when his faith was tested. Abraham believed in giving and tithing to God. Back to Genesis. Genesis 28:20-22. "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone, which I've set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you." What am I saying? Jacob had made a promise to tithe the tenth of all that God had given to him 300 years before the law of Moses. Speaking of the law of Moses, go with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 14:23. "In the presence of the Lord your God, in the place that he will choose as a dwelling for his name, you shall eat the tithe of your grain, your wine, and your oil, as well as the firstlings of your herd and flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." You may learn to fear the Lord your God always. What am I saying? Moses taught the children of Israel that the purpose of tithing was that you may learn to fear the Lord God always. Learning to reverence and respect our God is a timeless biblical principle with respect to giving to God that is just as relevant today as it was then. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." The writer of Proverbs is actually restating the same principle stated by Moses, namely that giving the Lord the first fruit of your wealth is a way of honoring, revering, and respecting God. The writer also makes a promise that God will provide an increase to the giver for their obedience. Let's look at the classic scripture in the Old Testament about tithing. Go with me to Malachi. Malachi 3:8-11. "Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, 'How are we robbing you?' In your tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And please test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. And I will rebuke and threaten the devourer for your sake." Malachi is the last Old Testament prophet, and the book of Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. The principle of tithing and giving to God is clearly established in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. Malachi goes further and states that you are robbing God if you are not tithing. God assumes that many of the saints will question him when it comes to giving of the income and increase to God. As a result, God challenges saints to test him and see if his word is true. God promises overflow blessings to tithing saints in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Is the principle of giving and tithing to God also a New Testament principle. Let's look at a few scriptures to this very timely question. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. For God loves a cheerful giver. What does this mean? This scripture is consistent with the offering of Abel in Genesis 4. You must decide in your heart to be obedient to God in your giving. Giving to God is a volitional act. Giving to God is voluntary. Giving to God is acknowledging that God owns it all. Giving to God is acknowledging that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine." Giving to God is understanding that we are merely stewards of the money and resources that God has entrusted to us. Giving to God is standing in agreement with God. Giving to God is done cheerfully. Giving to God is done with an attitude of gratitude. Giving to God is done in a spirit of thanksgiving and appreciation. That's what Paul said. So let's listen to what Matthew said. Go with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. This is Matthew quoting Jesus Christ. "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What am I saying? Jesus is saying that your heart will be found where we find your money. You will spend your money on the things that are most near to you and most dear to you. You cannot serve God in money. Which begs the next question: what did Jesus Christ say about giving and tithing? Let's look at Matthew 23:23. Matthew 23:23 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You tithe to God a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, but you forget about the more important matters of law, justice, peace, and faith. You ought to give your tithe, but without forgetting about those more important matters." You ought to give your tithe, but give it without forgetting about those more important matters. I hope you heard the scripture. Jesus Christ is rebuking the Pharisees for tithing while forgetting to be concerned with justice, peace, and faith. The Pharisees felt that tithing was the beginning and the ending of their responsibilities as saints of God. The Pharisees felt that they were not obligated to love their neighbors as themselves. The Pharisees did not care about matters of justice, peace, faith, and compassion. The Pharisees were only concerned about tithing and felt that tithing alone was enough to justify them as righteous. The Pharisees understood the letter of the law, but the Pharisees misunderstood that love was the spirit behind the law. If Jesus felt that tithing was only an Old Testament principle under the law of Moses, he would have told the Pharisees not to tithe and would have given them a new commandment or principle with respect to giving to God. Instead of doing that, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for tithing while forgetting about matters concerning justice, peace, and faith. Taking into consideration the stated New Testament scriptures from Paul and Matthew, and taking into consideration the testimony and the teaching of Jesus Christ to the Pharisees, there's ample evidence that tithing and giving to God is an Old Testament and a New Testament principle, and is just as relevant today as it was then. Why did Cain's anger result in the murder of Abel? I'm glad you asked. Let's look again at Genesis 4, 6 through 7. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why do you look so resentful? If you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do the right thing, sin will be waiting at the door to strike. It will entice you, but you must rule over it." What am I saying? God is telling Cain that he has no reason to be angry at God's acceptance of Abel's offering. God had given Cain the same opportunity as he had given to Abel. Cain was sinful and didn't want to acknowledge his sin. If Cain had chosen to live his life according to God's plan, his offering would have been acceptable. Cain rejected God's plan for his life and chose to have sin and Satan rule over him. Genesis 4:8 says, Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And when they went out to the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Cain had already planned to kill Abel. John Gill's commentary states that Cain spoke to Abel in a friendly manner and thereby got Abel to walk with him to the field. At any rate, Cain's anger had led him into allowing sin to rule over him. It is one thing to become angry. It's another thing to allow sin to rule over you and commit murder. 1 John 3:12 says, we must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. What am I saying? Abel was righteous and Cain was from Satan. Go with me to James. James 1:13-15 says, no one when tempted should say, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. Everyone is tempted by their own desire and cravings, being lured away and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Cain's anger resulted in Abel's murder because Cain was evil and allowed Satan to rule over him. What about responsibility? Am I actually my brother's keeper? Let's look at Genesis again. Genesis 4:9 says, then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? God is all-knowing. God is omniscient. God knew where Abel was. God knew what had happened to Abel. God knew what Cain had done. God knew also why Cain had murdered his brother Abel. The reason God asked this question to Cain was to bring Cain to an acknowledgement of his sin and a confession. God had asked the question to see if Cain had any remorse for his evil, sinful, criminal act. Instead of telling the truth to God and owning up to his evil, criminal act, Cain lied to God. Cain knew exactly what had happened to Abel, and Cain knew exactly where Abel was. Cain was under the influence of Satan. And just like Satan, Cain was a murderer and a liar. In addition to murdering his brother and lying to God, Cain showed no remorse or guilt and asked God in a very disrespectful manner whether he should be held accountable as his brother's keeper. Let's look at Genesis 4:10-16. Now we're talking about the consequences of Cain's act. And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it will no longer yield you a strength, and you will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and anyone who meets me may kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who came upon him would kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Adam's original sin was committed in Genesis 3. As a consequence of Adam's sin, God put conflict between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, which is Satan. The spiritual warfare that had begun in heaven before the foundation of the world was formed is now being played out on earth. The spiritual warfare between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent will continue until Satan is thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur to be tormented for eternity in Revelation 20:10. But in Genesis chapter 4, we are now seeing some of the first fruit that has been produced from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there's a lot more evil fruit that will be produced in the upcoming chapters. Cain killed his brother because he was evil. Cain was cursed from the earth. The wickedness of Cain brought about his curse. Cain has the hardened heart of a cold-blooded murderer and a barefaced liar. Cain never shows remorse or guilt for a sin. Cain never confesses and asks God for forgiveness for a sin. Cain only complains to God that his punishment is greater than he can bear. He did the crime, but he didn't want to do the time. Cain complains not of his sin, but of his punishment. It shows great hardness of heart to be more concerned about your sufferings than the consequences of your sins. And yes, as Christians, we are responsible for being our brother's keeper. We are obligated to honor the sixth commandment and not commit murder. Committing murder can be done physically. Committing murder can also be done by violence of the tongue through gossip, slander, jealousy, and outbursts of anger. We can also become our brother's keeper by having unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, and a tender heart and a humble mind, as mentioned in 1 Peter 3:8. So let's sum up our lesson for today. Cain and Abel, giving to God, anger, murder, and responsibility. God accepted Abel's offering as a better sacrifice to God than Cain's because Abel gave to God by faith. He was obedient, he trusted in the word of God, and he brought to God the first and best of his increase. God rejected Cain's offering because Cain did not give to God in faith. He was disobedient, he didn't trust the word of God, and he did not bring to God the first and best of his increase. Jude 1:11 says that Cain's footsteps were damned. 1 John 3:12 says that Cain was from Satan. God is no respecter of persons. God does not show favoritism. If you are obedient to God, you will be blessed. If you are disobedient to God, you will be cursed. Cain, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and many other persons in the Old Testament gave to God. Abraham and Jacob tithed to God hundreds of years before the law of Moses. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says that one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for tithing while forgetting to be concerned with justice, peace, and faith. Jesus told the Pharisees to tithe and not forget about matters concerning justice, peace, and faith. There's ample evidence in Scripture from Paul, Matthew, and Jesus Christ that tithing and giving to God is a principle that is just as relevant today as it was then. Cain's anger resulted in Abel's murder because Cain was evil and was from Satan. 1 Peter 3:8 says, we can become our brother's keeper by having unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Cain and Abel, giving to God, anger, murder, and responsibility. If after hearing today's podcast, you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat the salvation prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, amen. If you have accepted Christ, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Click on the Salvation tab and download the ABCs of Salvation document along with the article, The Next Steps After Salvation. If you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, or if you're seeking an answer to a specific Bible question, you can send me an email. We're also available for speaking engagements, conferences, and workshops. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben@foundationalbtm.org. Please like us on Facebook and share our podcast on your social network platforms.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
The Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry provides weekly Bible-based lessons on essential Christian doctrine. Our lessons are prepared for believers and non-believers to help our readers and listeners know what they believe and why they believe it. I pray that this ministry is making a difference in your life. We are a federally tax-exempt, nonprofit, listener-supported ministry. We are asking that you prayerfully make a donation that will help us sustain and expand our ministry services. We understand that some of our listeners are unable to financially support our efforts at this time. However, we pray that if this ministry is making a difference in your life, and if you are financially able, please consider making a contribution of any amount to support our ongoing work. We have several ways that you can give to our ministry. You can give online on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab. You can also give by writing a check made payable to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, P.O. Box 2156, that's P.O. Box 2156, Tuscaloosa, Alabama 35403. Our podcast can be listened to and downloaded from our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. With the support we received thus far, we've been able to expand our podcast Bible lessons to include Spreaker and Stitcher podcast listeners. We're looking forward to your continuous generous support that will help us sustain and expand our ministry to many other podcast hosting sites and venues this year. May God bless you. Genesis 6, 1 through 8 says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took to them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were Nephilim giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became the mighty men of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and every creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Who were the sons of God? Who were the daughters of men? Are angels able to have sex and reproduce? Were angels the sons of God that had sex with the daughters of men and produced the Nephilim giants? Why was the span of life reduced from over 800 years to only 120 years? God had just created mankind in Genesis 1. Why did God decide 5 chapters later in Genesis 6 to destroy mankind from the face of the earth? I'm glad you asked. We will address these questions in our next podcast titled Sons of God, Daughters of Men, Giants, Wickedness, and Destruction. This is Dr. Ben. Signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.